Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. This is Dorian Wallace, joined as always by my lovely sister Rena Saw. How you doing?
Hello, everybody. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing. Finer than frogs here.
Finer than frogs here. Who taught you that?
Well, actually, my dad said it, and then the first time you said it to me, it tripped me the hell out. I was like, oh, my God, my dad says that all the time.
I know. So good evening, sir, if you're listening. You're probably not, but good evening anyway. And hello to all of our new listeners. Apparently, we got popular again today. Welcome aboard,
folks. I know.
Folks.
Hi, guys.
I know. Welcome to the party. All right, so go
Hi.
Ahead and do the shout-out, and I'll disclaim things.
All right, I want to give a shout-out to my cousin Jessica. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
Right on. Okay, so those of you who are listening for the first time, this is not a G, a PG, or even an R-rated show. So, if bad language offends you, you might as well turn the station now, because I swear up a storm, and I'm getting ready to launch. Hello. Okay. So, aside from wishing everybody a wonderful Beltane, I'd also like to say to the party goers at Beltane Brouhaha, I hope y'all are getting down and getting funky on my behalf. Love you a lot,
yeah.
Miss you a lot, talk at you later. So it's been an interesting week, although not for me. that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in my world, a little less interesting is a little bit good. So here's the situation with the whole Philadelphia thing happening. It looks like they're going to charge all six cops with different levels of murder, attempted manslaughter. I'm like, good for you. You bastards are giving good cops a bad name. I am still very pro-cop, although I have a million and one reasons not to be. No, I'm joking. I am still very pro-cop. I think most policemen are decent motherfuckers. And rock on, do your job the right way, and this shit won't happen. See? See what happens when you fuck off? There you go. You go to jail.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping they go to jail. I hope the guilty parties are taken down and dealt with. And you know what? The thing that pisses me off is that this was such an uncool move. The guy wasn't guilty of anything. I mean, it's not like, you know, he was under suspicion for this or that, and it was an accident. That didn't even happen. The kid was carrying a knife, not a switchblade. He was carrying a knife. And guess what? It's legal to do that there. So they had nothing. They had nothing at all.
Yeah.
So do the crimes, go serve the time, people, all six of you, because you're all complicit in this bullshit. That's Raina's soapbox for the night. There you go.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'm stepping out of this situation this go round. It's not that I don't have feelings about it. It's not that I'm not angered. It's just I'm like so beyond angry. I literally do not have words for how angry I am.
That
this shit.
Wow.
Even though they keep getting caught. You know, even though this keeps happening and they keep getting caught, they keep doing it. It's like, what do you think is going to happen? Everybody has a camera at their side. And you know what? I'm going to stop there because I'm starting to get angry.
Okay.
So
I
anyway.
I do want to give one shout out, though. I do need to give this one
okay.
shout out to the mama on TV who ran after her kid, smacked him across the head a few times, and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And it was televised, and people have been on both sides of it. No, 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 no. People have said things like, "Well, that was a man, and it was his daughter." First of all, a girl doesn't normally act that much of a fool. Normally, girls, when they're called out, they shut up and face some respect immediately. Not every girl, but most girls. Guys,
yeah.
being pumped up and being guys, they don't want everybody to see them running from their mom or their mom whooping on them because people tease them and call them a pussy. The fact of the matter is, people are like, "Well, she should have taken him home and done that in private." No, no, no. The boy was walking away from his mom. There was no opportunity for her to drag him. The kid was taller than she is. She's doing the best
yeah.
she can to get her boy off the street. Praise to her. You be the mother you are, because a lot of these other bitches are just fucking stupid. So I'm all for that mom who smacked him across the head.
Exactly. And then you've got the other side that's outraged. Oh, she shouldn't have been beating her kid in the street. Well, A, you know, I'm sorry, but you have you ever pissed off an Italian mama? Because I know my grandma, my dad and my uncle around with a broom, actually broke a broom over my Uncle Jimmy's back. Because my uncle, those are the twins, Philip and Jimmy. And Philip had done something, Uncle Philip, and turned Uncle Jimmy over just in time. And Grandma broke the broom over his back. So
That's old school.
Exactly.
Correct.
And this stems from, you don't understand the fear. I don't even understand, and I'm privy to it, but you don't understand the fear a black mother has for her children just because of the color of their skin. So yes, she was terrified for that boy. She was also pissed off that he was in the middle of it, but she was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to get him out of the streets, trying not to get him killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she's probably seen in that neighborhood in Baltimore, other kids getting killed, you know,
mm-hmm.
just because. Look what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want that to happen to her child. And I'm sorry, but you go a little ballistic and animalistic and fierce and mama bear when it comes to your babies. That's a good mama.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
You know? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
I'm all
I don't
about
know.
Her.
I'm,
yeah.
I just don't have the energy anymore to be outraged every single day at something new. I'm really getting tired of it. I really am. It's
mm-hmm.
not that I don't care, but it's almost like, okay, well, you have to be this angry at this, otherwise, you know, you're heartless. And it's, no. So, yeah, it's not that I don't care. I do. I do care very much, and that's why I'm kind of, I don't know what to say. I really don't.
That's okay.
I'm heartbroken over the situation. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I am going to Brouhaha tomorrow.
You are? Okay. I thought you might be going
yes.
for the day tomorrow. Very
yeah,
cool.
We're just going for the day. Because the boys wanted to go, so I asked the hubby if he wanted to go too, and he's like, well, okay. You know, so it's going to be a nice, fun day.
You guys will have an amazing time. Enjoy for me. I am unfortunately unable to go, but you had been asked about by my priestess. So I said if you were going at all, it would be just a day trip and probably tomorrow.
Yeah. So yay, I'm going to go hug people's necks and I'll hug them twice for you.
Thank you.
Oh,
appreciate that.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
So you ready to bring Mr. Taliesin on?
Hell yeah!
Okay!
Howdy,
hey.
Howdy!
Hey, howdy, howdy, how you doing?
I'm sitting out on my back porch. It's a fine spring day.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous down here, too. I loved it. Nice and cool during the day, and then it warmed up a bit. It was gorgeous.
Yep, getting ready to have a nice weekend. We just had a cord of wood delivered to my house this week. So we got our wood for our backyard fires for all summer, all stacked and ready to go.
Excellent.
Awesome. You going to start some bale fires tonight?
I don't know about tonight. Tonight we're currently getting the house cleaned up. We've got carpet installers coming tomorrow. We're getting new carpet for our living room.
Awesome.
Yeah, which of course means that we've got to move furniture and all kinds of other stuff and speakers and, of course, tons of drums and instruments and all that fun stuff.
Very cool.
So, but then once we get all this stuff moved, we get to sit back tomorrow and let big, strong people do all the carpet ripping out and installing and just sit back and have a beer and say, yeah, that looks nice. So.
There you go. Oh, you missed a spot.
So, I suppose it's time to get into the show, the Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz Comedy Hour.
Oh, please.
I love that title, by the way.
Hear me. Now, I must put a little caveat, because Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are providing large amounts of comedy already, as long as you are not in the Republican Party. If you're in the Republican Party, it's kind of like that sphincter tightening, holy shit, what are we going to do now type of moves. Because of that, I will get to, there's a bit of a convoluted way to get there, but these two guys are shaping up to just basically make all of the fiscal money guys, all the fiscal conservatives, the people who want someone who's not that shit crazy to get the nomination, they're making them shit turnips right now, and there's a good reason why. And a lot of it is because of being the Republican Party being a victim of their own success. Now, excuse me, I've been inhaling dust all day. Let me get a drink here. Okay. Now, to understand exactly why these guys are such a problem this time around, where they really wouldn't have been in the past, you have to understand the way that money affects the electoral process, and things are really in flux right now. There are ways that money affects the process that is, of course, bad, and we're all familiar with the whole Citizens United bullshit and all the dark money and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a way that money is influencing politics, and it's changing the way it influences politics. That's actually shaping up for the better. Again, it depends on if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Now, the thing is that for a long time in our nation's history, presidential campaigns didn't really cost a whole lot of money. The parties picked their candidates. Before the era of the modern primary, the parties pretty much just got together behind closed doors at their convention and hashed it out over a week or so and figured out who their candidates were going to be. And then they'd go out and the press would cover both candidates, and the various parties would get their political machines going to see who could turn out their base better and who could motivate voters better. But it didn't cost a shit ton of money. The era where money started to affect political campaigns more changed in the 1960s. And it changed with the infamous Lyndon Baines Johnson ad against Goldwater, of the little girl picking petals off of her daisy in the field, and all of a sudden there's a big nuclear explosion, and it was basically an insinuation that if you voted for Goldwater, you were going to, you know, nuke the cute little blonde girls of the world. And that particular television ad was so effective that it immediately changed the way the campaigns were done. Because immediately after that, TV advertising started becoming extremely important. And the thing about TV advertising is that it just got more expensive over time. And especially when you had candidates who were willing to pay out big money for ad buys. And, of course, TV stations and networks are going to charge as much for the ads as their customers are willing to pay. And they were kind of got trapped in a cycle for several decades where the campaign thought that TV ads were all important and networks could go, great, you guys get to pay out the ass for them. And that's really what drove the cost of running presidential campaigns through the roof, was really expensive television advertising. And it's been like that for a long time. But however, and that's really why the people normally who can raise the most money are the ones who tend to win, because they can buy more TV ads to both fluff themselves up and to try to destroy their opponent. Now, the thing is that there's one way in which it's changing. For one thing, American campaigns are no longer considered these things where you just throw your stuff out there and try to convince the majority of the people. What it is the American presidential campaigns are now base plus campaigns. In other words, each party has its own base. It's a dependable base. It's going to come out. It's going to vote for them. They can depend on those people. And basically the key is to get enough people who aren't part of your base, people who are part of the mushy middle, to vote for your person, and that's what pushes you over the top. So base plus campaigns are how we do things now. Now, the Democratic Party in presidential years has a bigger base than the Republicans, because the Democratic base these days are pretty much every demographic that is rising in the U.S. right now, every demographic that's getting bigger in the U.S. right now, whether it's young voters, Latino voters, black voters, young women, college-educated women, the tech sector, you name it. Any part of the U.S. population that's growing are part of the Democratic base. The Republican base is principally a lot of old white men, and that's a base that's kind of shrinking over time. So the Democrats getting their base out is a big part of winning presidential campaigns. And the Democratic base being younger overall than the Republican base doesn't respond as well to TV advertising as they did in the past. That's one of the biggest things that's changed in political campaigns over the last decade, is that the Democratic base are younger. They're less likely to watch network TV. They're more likely to watch cable or Netflix or Hulu or download stuff from iTunes. They're not going to see a whole lot of political ads. And so reaching the Democratic base means that you have to get more creative. You have to spread your message out further, but it's less expensive. Internet advertising, direct email advertising, community organizing, all of these things are far cheaper than television advertising is. So the Democrats have a built-in advantage now because they can afford not to raise as much money as Republicans, because getting their base out doesn't cost as much as it does for Republicans. Republican base are older, they're white, they're middle class types. They're much more likely to get their information from network news and from network TV commercials. So that's one way that money is changing for the Democrats for the better. As a matter of fact, you know, the last election was the first post Citizens United election, and we saw people who thought that the Republicans were going to be able to have their billionaires buy the election for them. Well, go ask President Romney how well that worked out for him. Oh, that's right. You can't, because he fucking lost.
Sorry.
Mitt raised a lot more money from millionaires and billionaires than Barack Obama did. The average size contribution to Barack Obama's campaign was somewhere around $150, $200, because he had a lot of small dollar donations. And Mm-hmm. Not only were those little $3, $4, and $5 donations that he raised through email good money for the campaign, because you get 1 million people to donate $3, you just raised $3 million. But it also is a direct
yeah.
email way of keeping people involved in the campaign, making them feel invested in the campaign, making them feel like they've got a real stake in things. Now, so really, the Democrats don't have to worry about getting their millionaires and their billionaires as much as the Republicans do. Excuse me. Let me take a drink here.
You okay?
Yeah, I've just been inhaling dust all day because I've been cleaning.
Oh, that's not good.
I feel like I've been hanging around in a
nightclub
all night. Okay, so.
Either that or Keith Richards.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that is one way the money's been changing for the better for the Democrats. They're much better lined up to take advantage of new media. And as a matter of fact, one of the big news out of Hillary Clinton's campaign is that she's going to set up Hillary for president on the ground organizing canvassing efforts, get out the vote efforts, person to person canvassing in all 50 states. It's a return to Howard Dean's 50 state strategy that really worked out well for Democrats in 2008. And Hillary's going back
mm-hmm.
to it. And she can do that because doing this, even with paid staffers in all 50 states, is still cheaper than running TV ads and all those things. Now let's go back to the Republicans, however. The Republicans' base is older. Like I said, it's whiter. It's more likely to respond to TV advertising. Now, in the campaigns, in the past, in the primaries, in the past, the Republicans had a simple way of making sure that the least batshit crazy person who was running got the nomination. Because you notice, we've had some really batshit crazy people running for the Republicans the last few times, real firebrands, people who can excite the Tea Party base, people who can throw a lot of red meat out to the rabid, crazed, wild animals that the Tejadas call home. And yet, the last two campaigns, we had John McCain and Mitt Romney. Now, were they assholes? Sure. Were they misogynistic? Sure. Were they aloof? Were they elitist? Yes, yes, and yes. But you can say that they really were genuinely not nuts. They were douchebags, but they weren't crazy douchebags. And that was because what would happen, you could see this especially in the 2012 campaign, where you had a lot of Republicans who were not excited about Mitt Romney, and yet, and so every once in a while, these Republican Party faithful would start to rally around somebody, anybody whose name wasn't Romney. In fact, on the left-wing blogosphere, we called these candidates the not Romney for the month. And what would happen is that people would start to rally around one of these guys. Like, they would have a couple of primaries. Like, the frothy fellow himself, Rick Santorum, won a couple. Newt Gingrich won a couple. But every time it looked like somebody was starting to gain momentum against Mitt Romney, the money guys would turn on the taps. They would turn on the money taps. And then all these political action committees and third-party groups could, you know, that were pro-Mitt Romney could run ads, negative ads against these people, destroy them on the air, just rip them to pieces, and Romney would start winning campaign primaries again. And that was just the money jets. They could turn, the physical guys could turn on the money jets and make sure that the boring douchey guy could beat the batshit crazy person. But the problem now is that it's not going to be so easy for them to do that this time. Because of the Citizens United ruling, and because you have billionaires who can almost single-handedly bankroll a campaign, I mean, literally, Newt Gingrich's campaign in 2012 was bankrolled by one guy. You have all of these Republican hopefuls who are lining up to suck the cocks of the Koch brothers, because they know that these people are very rich. They can put a lot of money in the campaigns, and if you get your billionaires in line, they can help make sure you win. And the thing is that now people like Ted Cruz, who normally would have been a symbolic candidate in the past, somebody who would have said a lot of stupid shit but gotten destroyed in the early primaries, he has his own billionaire now. Ted Cruz, after he announced his candidacy, announced a $31 million fundraising quarter for his political action committee. And that $31 million came from one guy, this guy in New York, this billionaire-type magnate who just likes Ted Cruz. Marco Rubio has his own billionaire backer. And that's why I called this the Ted Cruz Marco Rubio Comedy Hour, because unfortunately Rand Paul, while he's really funny, he hasn't got his billionaire sugar daddy yet. And there's no guarantee that he's going to. So if he doesn't get billionaire sugar daddy, he's going to be toast really, really quick. Because let's face it, his dad's mailing list of guys in the tinfoil hats, they can only give you so much money. But now the Republican field is wide open. Literally, when you take a look at how many people are visiting New Hampshire, which is really the first contest, anybody who can beat in Iowa in the Iowa caucuses, write them off. Because the Iowa caucuses do not pick the Republican nominee anymore. The last two guys to win the Iowa caucuses were Mr. Frothy Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee. So, because the Iowa Republican Party is just completely batshit insane. So when you look at New Hampshire, the New Hampshire primary, right now, between declared and undeclared people who are interested, you've got no less than 21 Republicans visiting that state.
Wow.
It's a wide open field. And when you poll, like in New Hampshire, Jeb Bush is leading, but he's only leading by like 1%. Literally, Jeb Bush will pull 9% of the vote. And that makes him the winner because nobody else can pull 9% because there's too many fucking people running. But when you consider that your establishment guy, your Wall Street guy, your guy that the establishment has pretty much picked to be the nominee this year's Mitt Romney, also known as Jeb Bush, when he's not even pulling double digits in a lot of early states, and when he's only leading people by 1 point, it's a wide open race. A lot of Republican voters are not crazy about Jeb Bush because he's not batshit crazy enough for them. And let me tell you, the batshit crazy part of the Republican Party is getting tired of nominating these boring, douchey guys who lose anyway. If they lose, they figured if we lose, we might as well lose back in someone we really like. So right now, actually, the theocrats, the right-wing evangelicals, are getting together behind the scenes to decide if they can pick one guy to back early to maybe try to steal the nomination away from the establishment guy like Jeb Bush. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think these preachers are going to be able to agree with each other long enough to pick one guy. But if they did, that will really throw things into chaos because they don't. A lot of Republicans don't like Jeb Bush, either, like I said, because he's not batshit crazy enough or because they're smart and they realize that they'd have a better chance of electing Jeb if his last name was Hitler as opposed to Bush with recent history. So I've taken to calling Jeb Hitler just to give the guy a break. But everything is up in the air, and so Jeb's real problem is that Jeb could be in the position to lose by winning, and this is how this happens. When you're the establishment guy, when you're the guy who's raising $4 million a night at these fundraisers where you have to pay $100,000 just to get in the fucking door, when you're raising that kind of money, you are expected to perform. You're expected by your financial backers to perform and perform big. And the thing is, if Jeb wins New Hampshire, but he only wins it by like 3, 4, 5 points, that's not good for him. Because in order to be the establishment guy, the guy who, you know, I'm the most electable and you just have to deal with it, you batshit crazy motherfuckers, and like it, you have to destroy your opponents. You cannot squeak by them. If you squeak by your opponents too many times, it's going to make those opponents look viable. And all of a sudden, the money people are going to go, hey, wait a minute. Why should we give millions to Jeb when he doesn't look like he can even put away Ted Cruz? If Jeb can't put away Ted Cruz, how the fuck is he going to compete against Hillary Clinton? So if people start thinking like that, then all of a sudden the money guys start trying to hedge their bets and split their money up, and then it's a horse race, and then it's just sheer fucking chaos. So Jeb, Ted and Marco are making things really funny as long as you're not a fucking Republican. I'm enjoying this thoroughly. I mean, right now on the Democratic side, we've got two great candidates. We've got Hillary Clinton, who's going to win, and Bernie Sanders, who won't win but will push the conversation leftward in a really delicious way. But again, it's like 2008. Mm-hmm. When the Democrats had two great candidates in Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and no matter who we wind up with, they're going to be fucking awesome. Whereas the Republicans, on the other hand, are trying to decide which dildo to shove up their ass because which one's going to hurt less. So it's just it's a marvelous time.
I've got one thing to say, Bernie Sanders. I am so fucking excited. You know, like it's just has tried to talk me down because, you know, I'm just, oh my God, I'm over the moon. Talk to me.
Well, Bernie Sanders is a great guy. Okay, Brian, love the stuff that Bernie Sanders says. He takes the right side on every issue. I mean, when the guy gets a zero rating from the American Family Foundation and a 100% rating from every pro-choice group in the world, you know he's a good guy. He's a smart guy. Let me just say one thing, though. Bernie Sanders is not going to take the nomination. He's just not. Because of the fact that he's too far to the left for even a lot of Democrats. I hate to say it, the progressives are coming up. We're gaining ground. We're convincing people on issues, but Bernie is not the guy who's going to be able to take the nomination. For one thing, the guy refuses to go negative, and that's beautiful for the party, by the way. Bernie Sanders has never run a negative ad in his political life, and he says he's not going to start now. He wants to talk about issues and not personalities. This is the best situation for us because, look, 60% of the Democratic Party is happy with Hillary, and they're going to go with the name they know, Hillary. I mean, let's face it, us on the left, we know Bernie Sanders, but you get outside of the extreme progressive left in the Democratic Party, and he's this old guy who calls himself a socialist. A lot of your Midwestern primary states, they're not going to go for Bernie. He's not going to raise enough money to seriously compete. And like I said, Hillary is going to have on-the-ground, door-to-door canvassers in every single, all 50 states. Bernie's not going to be able to raise enough money to do that. But the thing that Bernie's going to do, since he's not going to go negative, he's going to talk about issues and talk about doing them because they're the right thing to do. Now, Hillary has already been tacking left. I don't know if people have noticed this, but before Bernie even gets into the race, one of Hillary's four main things that she's talking about, she has a four-leg platform that she is running on. And one of these legs is getting dark money out of politics with a constitutional amendment if necessary. She has already endorsed this. Now, Bernie Sanders happened to write a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. But when these two get on a debate floor and start talking about this, it's going to be like, we need to do this. Yes, I agree with you. Let's do this. Yes, we got to do this. It's going to pump the progressive message up by people not going negative and talking about these issues. And Hillary already leaning leftward on a lot of issues. She's going to have to tilt to the left even more. But in this particular climate, she's going to be able to tack to the left on issues and win even bigger than if she tried to straddle the middle. That's the biggest lesson that Hillary learned from losing in 2008. Yeah. She tried to straddle the middle in 2008. Barack Obama ran to the left of her, and he beat her. Bernie, as good as he is, he's not the kind of campaigner that Barack Obama is, but Hillary has learned her lesson. She's already endorsed gay marriage. She wants the Supreme Court to legalize gay marriage nationwide. She's come out in favor of giving driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants. She never supported that before. She's attacking dark money in politics, and she's also making income inequality a big major theme of what she's talking about. In the first major speech she gave, the first major policy speech that she gave after announcing for president, she was talking about the Baltimore riots and about how we have to clean up the policing in this country and de-emphasize incarceration and for-profit prisons. Very, very leftist, liberal, progressive things. She's already running to her own left. Bernie's going to pull her even farther left, but that's just going to energize the base and make this a really transformative election. So I don't want to throw cold water on you by saying that Bernie's not going to win, but he's going to do a lot of good for the party, for Hillary, for the nation, just by forcing a conversation on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, that's kind of the issue. It's like it's wishful thinking on my part. I mean, you know, I will be his biggest cheerleader. I will be out there hooting and hollering for him. But, yeah, I understand that the chances are slim. I do. I get that. You know, it's
right.
Just, yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask you a question, too.
I was going to say, a lot of the progressive issues that Bernie's going to make us deal with, though, real quick, I want to say, a lot of progressive issues that Bernie is going to force us to the left on are winners. I mean, the thing that people overlooked in the 2014 elections, as bad as they were for Democratic candidates, when it came to progressive causes, it was a great election. Every single state that had a minimum wage increase passed it, even red states. Every single state that had an anti-abortion personhood amendment, those things that could even ban types of birth control, those all went down. They went down bad. They went down like a Kardashian at a college kegger. That's how bad they went down. I mean, marijuana legalization passed in more states. Gay marriage passed in more states. Every single liberal progressive issue that was on the ballots passed. It was the candidates who refused to embrace those leftist progressive issues. They're the ones who got their asses handed to them. So the more that we get Hillary, and let me tell you, the more Bernie and Hillary are out there pushing the party to the left, the more the candidates are going to have to run to the left. And the more progressives that we get into office, the better it's going to be. So that's the thing. The Democrats have this great situation where being pushed to the left is pushing the party on the right side of issues that are popular with the American people. The Republicans, on the other hand, have this crazy dash to the right, which is pushing them into even more unpopular positions with the American people that they're going to have to run on. Even though Jeb's the establishment guy, he's still going to have to be against gay marriage. He's still going to have to be against immigration reform, even though he used to be in favor of it when he was governor of Florida. He's going to have to be against it now because there's no way that you can be in favor of immigration reform and hope to win enough primaries to get to be the Republican nominee. Jeb himself came out and said that the only way a Republican can really win the presidency is if they lose the primary. And now it's just him saying that the primary process shoves guys in the Republican Party so far to the right that they just can't find their way out again. So for as bad as it is for the Republicans, it's equally as good for the Democrats on this side. The one thing I want people to remember, though, is that all the progressives, I hate to say this, and it's going to sound horrible, but don't give all your money to Bernie Sanders, because we need to support progressive candidates for the House and for the Senate. This is vital. Because like I said before, we could have the best. We could have Elizabeth Warren as president and Bernie Sanders as vice president and Sherrod Brown as czar of the fucking economy. We could have the dream team in there. If we have a shitty Congress, nothing gets done. So if anything, learned anything from the past 6 years of Republican obstruction of Barack Obama, it's that no matter who gets in there as president, if we have a shitty-ass Congress, nothing gets done. So please, 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 people, go out and organize. Donate money, but also go out and organize. Canvas, go door to door. Support your local progressive candidates for the U.S. House and for the U.S. Senate, because that is vitally important. Because whichever Democrat we win, and let me tell you, we could run Barack Obama's dog, Bo, and we could beat any of these Republicans. But whatever Democrat gets into the White House, the best gift that we can give them is a decent fucking Congress.
Yeah. Sometimes, I have to be honest with you, sometimes I think that election is more important than the president, the presidential election.
It is.
You know, I've always kind of felt that way. I do have one quick question.
Go ahead.
Reverting to gay marriage. I'm sorry, and I'll make it quick. I heard, and I didn't get a chance to read it, but I saw that a religious group actually put, what was it, restraining orders against Ginsburg and, who else was it? It was two of the justices to try to get them to stop voting on it. What was it?
Well, they're trying to get injunctions against them, but the Supreme Court would have to grant the injunctions themselves against members of their own body, and they're not going to do it. But they're saying that since Ginsburg and Sotomayor have officiated at same-sex weddings, that they should recuse themselves from judging on the gay marriage case because they've already shown a bias. The problem is that if the Supreme Court were inclined to do that, they'd also have to eliminate Justices Scalia and Thomas and Alito, because they're all part of religious groups that have already expressed opposition to same-sex marriage, so they could be said to be equally biased. It's a grandstanding stunt by people who are on the wrong side of history and are getting ready to get dumped in the dustbin, and it's just really, it's fucking high comedy is what it is. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is that we're looking at a very realistic situation where it may not be a 5-4 decision legalizing gay marriage. It could be a 6-3 decision, because there's a lot of people who are thinking that Justice Roberts, of all people, is going to come down on the side of pro-marriage equality for the simple fact that he knows how to read the 14th Amendment. And he knows that equal protection under the law, there is no ifs, ands, or buts there. It's equal protection under the fucking law. And just like he couldn't rule against Obamacare because the fines for the individual mandate were technically covered under the government's power to tax people, and no matter how much he wanted to vote against Obamacare, he had to vote in favor of it because of that taxation power. He's one of these people. He's a conservative, he's an asshole, but when he sees that he's in a legal corner, he is just not going to be the one who's going to be overturned 5 years from now. That's the thing. Roberts does not want to be remembered for the Dred Scott decision. He'd rather be remembered for Brown versus the Board of Education, even if he personally disagrees with it. And when he sees that the Constitution clearly states that all citizens are afforded equal protection under the law, it's going to be really hard for him to finagle around that. So we've got the four liberals.
Yeah.
We've got Justice Kennedy. We may even have Justice Roberts. So it's not going to be a 9-0 decision like Loving versus Virginia was, but it's going to be pretty clear cut.
Yay.
Yeah.
Our friends can get married.
Yay.
Course, that's awesome.
And of course, me, I'm such a liberal. My attitude is, okay, once we get the gays being able to marry, now we got to argue for the legality of poly marriage, because I know a lot of polyamorous people. And these are some of the kindest, loving people I've ever met. And there's no reason why their relationships should be thought of as lesser either. But that's my particular.
I agree. Well, we're similar.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's not my thing. It's not for me, because I was born an only child. You know, my sister is my soul sister. And I'm not good at sharing. I'm not good with other people playing with my toys.
I'm a monogamous straight guy, and I'm arguing for gay marriage, and I'm supportive of poly marriage too. I mean, what the fuck, man? You know, it's like it's a legal thing. It's like You know, the fact, like the most popular Facebook meme says, the fact that you can no longer sell your daughter for two goats and an ox means that we've already redefined marriage.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my question is always, it always goes back to, what the fuck do you care what somebody does behind closed doors? If you're that concerned
right.
about other people's sex lives, put on some fucking porn, okay? Get your jollies or get mad,
you know,
but leave people
A lot of your Republican men are afraid of gay marriage being legalized because then their boyfriends are going to give them ultimatums. So...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I don't actually think that's a joke. No, I don't actually think that's a joke. I think that's a real situation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Now, another thing to remember, too, is that when you take a look at this gay marriage issue, this is going to, you know, there have been a lot of Republicans for a while that have been really hoping that the courts would just fucking legalize it so they could say, well, I don't agree with it, but the courts have ruled, yeah. And let me tell you, if this had been the 1990s, the Republicans would be able to do that. But in this day and age, with their base being so fucking crazy, I mean, just there's no amount of curse words that you can put before the word crazy to really get across mm-hmm. how incredibly fucking batshit, dog shit, camel shit, fuck you up the ass with a rusty nail crazy these people are, especially the ones who do the Republican Platform Committee. And the thing is that you, when you take a look at it, 61% roughly of the U.S. population is in support of marriage equality. Now, when you take a look at that 39% that's not specifically in favor of it, you've got about 25% of the people who are hardcore against it. These are the real hardcore people who are like, you know, well, you know, you can have gay marriage when you pry my dildo out of my cold, stiff ass or whatever. But still, the real lunatic people. Now, the fact of the matter is, though, is that that means that you've got about 14% of the people who are not in favor of gay marriage, though, but their general attitude is it's not a hill that they want to die on politically. They may not agree with it, but it's not so important to them that it's worth losing fucking elections over. And so when you take a look at it, once the gay marriage issue is decided in June and it's fucking over, done, stick a fork in it, you're going to have 75% of the American populace who are going to be happy about this. The 61% who are in favor of marriage equality, plus the 14% who may not like it, but they get tired of it hurting their party, the Republicans, politically over it. And so when you think about that, and you think about, though, the 25% who fucking just cannot stand it, these are the people who are going to be writing the Republican platform. And so no matter who gets nominated for the Republican presidential nomination for president, and I'm still putting my money on Jeb Bush. I still think he's going to be able to pull it out. Or as I like to say, Jeb Hitler is going to be able to storm into Poland and take that nomination. I would love, fucking love it if it was someone like fucking Scott Walker or Marco Rubio, because these guys are just going to get their clocks cleaned by fucking Hillary. She's going to make them scream for uncle. But the thing is that no matter who it is, they're going to have to run on a platform that is calling for a constitutional amendment to ban marriage equality. In other words, an issue that 75% of the country is happy is done and over with. They're going to have to run on a platform of reopening that up again and trying to force fucking amendments through the states and just the whole – and a complete and utter fucking losing battle, a battle that is such a losing battle, it's going to make those Obamacare repeals look like declaring National Puppy Day as far as being easy compared to doing this sort of thing. And they're going to have to run on that. And let me tell you, Hillary is one of the smartest people that we've had running in politics for a long time. And even if something happened and it was Bernie, he's smart too. The first debate, I'm just waiting for the Democratic nominee to look at that Republican nominee and say, 75% of the country is happy that the question of gay marriage has been decided. Why are you running on a platform to reopen that scab? And just fucking don't let them twist around. Don't let them talk it away. Just come back and say, yes or no, are you going to do this part of your platform? And if it's yes, why? And if it's no, then why are you lying about how you're running? I just want to see them make them fucking twist in the wind over it. let me tell you, Hillary has a much better taste for the jugular than Barack Obama does. He's a great guy, but he's a little too nice of a guy sometimes. But I don't think Hillary's going to let him get away with that shit. So
no, she won't. No, she won't.
I will say, though.
She's going to take a wooden spoon and spank his ass.
The one thing I'm really going to miss when Barack Obama's out of office, though, is the national, the White House Press Association dinners. Because, Barack Obama can deliver a joke better than any president I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, the guy
is
just,
Have you guys
seen this year's White House press dinner?
My boyfriend was on there. Keegan.
So what was that? Have you guys seen it? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I was talking. Yeah, I'm on delay again. I apologize. But yeah, I was saying my boyfriend was on there with him, Keegan. He was the interpreter. I love that man.
Oh, okay.
He's so cute.
let me tell you.
That's my boyfriend.
That was just fucking hilarious. I mean, the fact that he had Luther from Key and Peele on there to be his anger interpreter. That just fucking slayed me, man. And the fact that Luther had to come out and tell him to calm down.
This is great.
But I got to tell you, though.
It was one of the best moves.
Say what?
It was one of the best things ever done at a correspondence dinner ever.
Now, did you see Cicely, what's her name, from Saturday Night Live? I just watched her bit today on it. And I got to say that one of my favorite jokes. One of my favorite jokes that she gave, and she was fucking edgy. But you notice that since she was saying instead of Barack Obama, more people felt like they could laugh. But I love the one joke where she said that that you got to hand it to the Secret Service. They have a really rough job. They're the only police force in America that gets in trouble if the black guy gets shot. So.
That was great.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yes. I like that one.
Oh, my gosh.
And to show you how things are changing, when Barack Obama was doing his best bit where he almost came out and said bullshit, which I love, then they flash out into the audience, and who is there standing up waving her hand but Laverne fucking Cox from Orange is the New Black.
I saw her.
Yeah,
that was
I just
awesome.
Saw a picture today that she took with Barack and Michelle Obama. So, hey, you know, it's like times they are changing, man.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, and by the way, we're about down to 5 minutes, but I just want to say I fully support the campaign. I'll go with you because I'm sorry, me personally, I would feel much more comfortable going to the bathroom with a transvestite than half the women in this town.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know.
Yes.
So, I officially, I announce, I will go with you. If you need to go to the bathroom, you need a partner, you need somebody to make you feel safe, I will go with you. And I will kick anybody's ass that says a word to you.
There you go.
That's true. And I will jump on this campaign as well. Just ask for me.
Actually, I'm going to get buttons and send them to you guys.
That's cool.
Good idea. I will totally walk into a bath, please. You need someone to protect you? You bring my nasty ass, because I will kill a bitch. Absolutely. I will. Any of my transgender women out there, come on, lady. I'll take you in. No worries.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Are we seriously low on time already? God, it seems to have flown by.
I know. Well, because we're doing a shorter show, because Miss Raina is not feeling too good tonight. So, but next time, we will be on for longer because, I'm sure this is only going to get better and better as the time goes on. I seriously almost changed the intro song to the da 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 da. It's like a freaking clown car with all of them popping up.
This year's Republican Field makes 2012's Republican Field look like one of those paintings of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, just,
oh my
God, that fucking bad.
It's hysterical.
Oh, and this week, Carly Fiorina, Mike Huckabee, and Ben Carson all announced for the Republican nomination. It's just going to get better from here, folks.
Oh,
God.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll make a big batch of popcorn. We'll all sit around, you know, see if we can find some smoke and just enjoy ourselves.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. You know, you guys can't make it to start this year. Next year in 2016, my political workshop is going to be a barn burner. So I'm thinking that I'm thinking start with 2016, I want to host an unofficial wake at my campsite, a wake for the Republican Party, because they're going to get hammered. So I figure we can all get together and have some smokables, have some drinkables, and just be like loud, obnoxious liberals.
I will start saving now.
Yeah.
Oh, that will be awesome.
I'm going to get back into the house and continue to help clean and all that stuff, getting ready for the glorious new carpet.
Yay!
We will stay in touch online. We're going to have some big things coming up here in the next month, so stay tuned, campers. It's just going to get more fun from here.
Yay!
Awesome.
Love you.
Go get a mask and put it over your face.
Bye.
All right. Love ya. Thank you. Bye. Oh, I love his shows. Always imparts such knowledge.
I know. He's awesome.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Well,
and to the listening audience, we are going to cut it short. Go ahead. And sorry, I don't mean to talk over you.
No, you're fine. I just wanted to wish everybody a blessed Beltane, and let's make the next season the best one.
Absolutely. We love you guys. Enjoy the full moon and Beltane and bale fires if you're going to light them tonight. And we will see you next week with Mr. Andre Vitamus is making his return. And you can find details about that on our Google Plus page or our Facebook page. Go ahead and feel free to like us. Welcome to all our new listeners. And we will see y'all next week. Love you guys.
Bye, everybody. Love you. Bye. Woo.